Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Spirit Alive Network, God's great love for us on Spirit Alive Network. Tonight we're going to be discussing loving your family well. Also, as a part of this, is your family is your first ministry. But before we get started, I'd like to open with a word of prayer and a song of praise. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this evening, God. I thank you for your graciousness and your mercy toward us. Father, I thank you for us learning to stand in a place of favor with you at all times. I thank you for us learning to extend the mercy that we receive from you to others. Father, I thank you for the forgiveness that you've given us, God. Father, I thank you for you giving us a heart to forgive others. God, I thank you for all of your favor that you allow us to partake in each and every day. God, I thank you for the health and the strength that you've given us. I thank you for your word that you've given us that we might not sin against you, God. Father, I thank you for you continuing to bring us into a place where we see the light, where we allow your word to cleanse us from the inside out. God, I thank you for our regeneration being a genuine experience that we ourselves can testify of, that we ourselves can witness in others who are being saved and cleansed from the inside out by your word, as your word has its cleansing effect on each and every one of us. God, allow us to sharpen one another as we grow individually in the knowledge of your word and your purpose in our life, and allow ourselves to stand in that place of favor. God, I thank you for you continuing to comfort us and to assure us that our salvation is secured through your Son, Jesus Christ, and his blood. Father, I thank you for that power of his blood being able to deliver anyone who submits to the authority of your Son, Jesus Christ, and makes him their master. God, I thank you so much for you giving us the desire to share the good news of the death, burial, and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, with others so that they can come boldly before your throne and find grace to help in time of need. Father, I thank you for you giving us a desire to seek a genuine knowledge of your word so that we can understand what we are doing when we are speaking on your behalf. Father, I thank you for you continuing to develop each and every one of us in a way that allows us to grow and help others grow and give others room to grow as you give us the ability to be as gracious and merciful as you are with us. I thank you for this right now in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to listen to the song of praise by Donald Lawrence, I Speak Life.
We're living in a time where everybody is struggling for their lives. The stress, the depressed. But with the power invested in me, I came to speak life over you. I speak blessings of health, blessings of peace. To my brothers and sisters all around the world, especially those in South Africa, struggling with AIDS, in Brazil, the States.
I speak life, you're gonna live. Oh, my brother, my sister, I speak life. You are the head and not the tail. You will prevail. I speak life. Don't give up the fight for your life.
suffer from low self-esteem. The power of life and death is in the tongue. Speak life over yourself and those you love.
Help me sing it.
I speak life. You're gonna live.
Welcome back to Spirit Alive Network, God's Great Love for Us, episode 26. Pastor Vanessa and I would like to welcome you to tonight's discussion. And tonight we're going to be discussing loving your family well. But the real topic of the teaching is going to be your family is your ministry. Before we get started, what I'd like to do is have an opening scripture that I would like to be the basis for the discussion, but I'm going to hand it over immediately to Pastor Vanessa so that she can lead the discussion about your family being your first ministry. The scripture I'd like to start with tonight is in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. And what it says is, give these instructions to the believers so that they will be above reproach. If anyone does not provide for his own, and especially his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. This is what the word has to say about those of us who are so interested in impressing others that we ignore our own household, that we shun those that are connected to us in order to impress those who are not connected to us. And it's easy to put on a show for people that you spend very little time with throughout the week. So the people you see on Sunday and Wednesday, it's so easy to be available for them because you only have to deal with them on Sunday and Wednesday. But the people who are involved in your life daily, you are connected to by blood, who are in your household, who are a part of how your family runs. These are the people that God has assigned to you, and these are the people that you are also assigned to. I can tell you that in my family, I've been assigned to my mother and my wife, and my children and my grandchildren and my brother and sister and all of these in-laws that I have. And I'm not the easiest assignment. Lester Carver is a pretty difficult character sometimes. And so it is with all of us. As people, we are work. We have been given as an assignment to someone else. And I love my wife's analogy. Pastor Carver would say that we are sandpaper to others. The Word of God would say that iron, we are iron to one another, and that iron sharpens iron. But how Pastor Vanessa puts it is we are sandpaper smoothing out the rough edges in one another so that we are not always going to be as rough and crude as we were 20 years ago, 30 years ago, or 40 years ago, because daily God gives us the opportunity to renew our mind, to walk in love, to forgive, to get past offense, to not be easily offended, and to allow the power of the Holy Spirit to really operate in our life. So, Pastor Vanessa, I would like for you to discuss with the people online tonight what you feel about our family being our first ministry. Woman of God?
Thank you. I think that this topic, I know that this topic is a loaded gun, in a good way, though, because the things that are hard to talk about are the things that need to be talked about, especially in the kingdom of God. And when it comes to family and all those different elements of family, they need to be addressed. Because as we know, our world, as we know it, is reeling in places of turmoil, levels of wickedness and darkness. And some of the core reasons for that is because of the lack of order and structure as it pertains to the family and the unit of family. And we're allowing the world and culture to define what family is versus what God said family is. And so this topic does need to be talked about because many times we in the body of Christ will bring the residue ideologies into the kingdom and try to live out from that paradigm, and that's not a paradigm we should be living at, out of. As a matter of fact, Jesus in the book of Mark and the other Gospels, there's some corresponding scriptures, and I'm going to start in Mark 3, verses 31 through 35. And this is the paradigm that Jesus was basically magnifying and shifting. And I'm going to read from the, I think this is the Life Application Bible, NLT, the Living Bible. And it says, now his mother and brothers arrived at the crowded house where he was teaching, where Jesus was teaching. And they sent word for him to come out and talk to them. Now here he is doing ministry and they're telling different ones, go get Jesus and tell him his family's out here. I just want you to get the image, okay? And your mother and brothers are outside and we want to see you, he was told. He replied, who is my mother and who are my brothers? looking at those around him at the time. So he's looking at the people that he was teaching. And he asked them these questions: who is my mother and who are my brothers? And he said, these are my mother and brothers. Anyone who does God's will is my mother, is my brother, my sister, and my mother. So he was including them. He wasn't excluding his family outside that was calling for him, but he was saying, you know, I'm called to these people as well as I'm called. This is his spiritual family, those he was called to, those he was called to pastor and to love on and to heal and to restore and speak life into. Okay, so if we take that paradigm, right, and we begin to mirror it in our own natural families and our spiritual families, that's a great foundation. Because Jesus had to have the, you know, there's a scripture that says, whatever he saw his father do, he did, and whatever he heard his father speak, he spoke. He was taking that level of understanding and insight from God as being his son. And I think that we have to understand and intentionally decide to line up with the word of God when it comes to our family and how we see our family, our natural family. And my husband, Bishop Carver, mentioned about sandpaper. Yes, sandpaper, even when you use sandpaper in the natural, you can see what it does to whatever you apply pressure to. It's not going to work if you don't apply pressure with that sandpaper. That's what I noticed. You're just rubbing it and scratching it, you know, and that's irritating. But when you begin to apply pressure with that sandpaper, it will be smooth. It will be a smooth surface. And that's how we have to realize that when family dynamics are always ongoing, we have to apply the pressure of the Holy Spirit and let him restore us and let him heal us and let him develop us. Because Apostle Cook told me one time, and it sticks with me, she said that family is basically spiritual boot camp. You are ministry boot camp, she called it. And I like that, because it's like there's nothing pleasant about boot camp, but you got to focus and everybody's got a mission to get through the boot camp so they can get to their assignment, to get to their station as in the military. I'm thinking of, they're doing that because they signed up for this and they know what it is. And I think that I know, of course, that many of us can agree with that, that family is not always easy. We love our family. We sometimes are the issue instead of them being the issue, we are. And I agree with him saying being the assignment. I know I have been the assignment in my family's life. On their prayer list, I've been on their prayer list, they've been on mine. And so that's a good thing. That's nothing to be ashamed of or anything, because that's how the body's supposed to work. There are times when you're going to be on somebody's prayer list, and then there's times that they're going to be on yours. And it doesn't mean something always has to be bad for that to be the case. People, we as the saints of God who are living, need to be perfected. We need to grow up. We need to be developed. What I see a lot of times in families is arrested development, and it's generational. And so if you decide, I got to break this cycle, I got to do my part, and everybody has an assignment in families, we all have our strengths and we all have our weaknesses. And I think that I know that when we start talking about generational curses, we can have like several shows about that. But we need to start initiating more conversation and prayer and intercession to activate generational blessings and see how we can access and locate that in our families and pray into that untapped well, because we don't enough. And when I think of family, I get passionate about a couple of things, and I'm sure Bishop Carver gets passionate about a couple of things, but we have to always have the mind of Christ and begin to say, this is what it is to walk in favor. I have an assignment and I can't drop it because of what somebody else has said and spoken over me when I was a child, or because of levels of unforgiveness, or because of false humility and false burdens. We have to go back to the word. If we really take it all the way back, even before Jesus was here, we'll go to the scripture in Genesis when Jesus said in Genesis 2 and 24, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother, hold fast to his wife, and they shall become flesh. And as we know, this was basically the closest foundational element of what marriage is. And I'm telling you this, I'm not going to get on my soapbox. I'm going to really try hard not to be preaching to people about what should be or what should be. It's not about a moral issue. It's about spiritually what you're aligned with and what you believe the word says. Things outside the order of God may feel right, may even look right, but it's not right foundationally. And eventually it's going to fall. So let's begin to, as the children of God and servant leaders, begin to see foundationally what should be and not come into agreement with what we see culture says or our society says or what mama and them said or what the pastor said. If it's not in alignment with the word, we shouldn't agree with it spiritually or naturally. We shouldn't even entertain it. And that's where the problem starts. People bring, like my husband comes from a different background. I come from a different background. At the end of the day, we have Holy Spirit that should supersede all the breaches that we have, all the generational dysfunction that we both brought to the plate. And then we created more issues with the things that we didn't address in ourselves, and now we have children and grandchildren. And so I truly believe that I'm not going to live in a place of guilt. I'm going to get to work in my family because I know there's things that I did where I dropped the ball. For me, that's why I want to talk about the ministry of family. When you know better, you do better. When you know better spiritually because you've learned and you're more mature, you have a job to do. And you really have to hone in to what that is because you have a job to do in your family, in your spiritual family, and in your natural family. It's easy, so it seems, to be able to address and minister in places where people don't know you, quote unquote, like in church. People know you, but they only know you to a certain degree. They don't live with you. That's an excuse. Because I think God is taking away and tearing down all excuses. Is family, and family is ministry. Bishop Carver, would you like to add, or anybody else that's on the line, please feel free to add or chime in.
It would be nice to hear from somebody else, but until somebody else steps up, I'd like to share this particular verse because it's so important that we stay grounded in the spiritual aspect of this because it starts with the Spirit. See, without the Spirit, you don't even have the power to do these things that we're talking about. And so if you go all the way to the beginning, to Acts 2, 38 and 39, it says, then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And what we see here is that God is asking us to turn away from serving sin, turn away from idolizing ourselves, turn away from idolizing others, turn away from idolizing money, turn away from idolizing fame, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of our Master Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, so that our sins may be forgiven. And we shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit when we turn away from all those things that we have idolized in our life, all those things that we turned into gods. We got to let them go so that we can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and then understand that that promise is not just to us and for us so that we can go to heaven. It's to us and to our children and then to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. understanding that those who are connected to you, they're the first people who should hear the good news of the death, burial, and resurrection of God's Son, Jesus Christ, from you, because they're probably the first ones that are going to see you in your house. And they're the first ones who are going to experience your transformation. I'll tell you that within my household, over the course of my brief 57 years here on earth, my family can tell you a whole lot about how far the Holy Spirit has taken me over the years. And that is a great thing to everyone's benefit, that everybody in my family doesn't have to deal with the old Lester Carver, because the old Lester Carver was a trip. And, you know, it's one of those things where God is glorified because you see the power of God at work firsthand. You know that what God did in, well, my family, who's seen up close, they know what God did because they saw God do it up close. There is no denying the work that God did. And so it is in all of our lives. The people who see us up close are the ones that God is, well, they're the ones that God has assigned us to, who is, and he is counting on us to draw them into the kingdom. But then they're also the ones that the devil's trying to come against, because they are the witnesses to what God has done in your life and how you've been transformed by renewing your mind to the word of God, how you've been cleansed by the word of God, how you have been made to live a life that is more than abundant spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally, and financially. And they can testify to this. There is no doubt. There's no question. I'll tell you, there is a degree of authenticity when you hear one's spouse or one's children or one's parents or one's grandparents speaking of their relationship with God, because they experience that firsthand. They know who's talking and who's living, who's putting on a show, and who is actually doing what they say they believe, because they're experiencing the benefits of that or not, you know? And so we have to get to the point where we understand that that first verse that I read in 1 Timothy is real. The instructions to the believers were that they were to provide for their own, especially their own household. And if they do not provide for their own in their own household, then they have denied the faith and they are worse than an unbeliever. And it's hard to imagine being worse than an unbeliever. Now think about it. What makes you an unbeliever is you deny and renounce the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our master, right? You can be worse than that. That's hard to imagine, right? But that is the level of fellowship that you place yourself in, or having fallen out of fellowship, when you deny your own, when you fail to care for those that God has assigned you to. So if I walked out of my house and said, you know what, I don't have to do all this, I can just take care of me, and I left my family, and I no longer covered my wife, and I walked away from my children and my grandchildren, and I just said, you know what, I'm done. I just quit, right? Like any other loser, you just quit. So when I tell my kids, winners don't quit, and quitters don't win. And so if you want to please God, if you want to serve God, if you want to trust God, and if you want to obey God, accept your assignment. The family, none of us chose what family we were born into. None of us ever chose who our mother was and who our father was. And God has assigned us where he's assigned us for a specific purpose, because these are the people that are going to teach us things that we could only learn from them. Teach us lessons of what to do, teach us lessons of what not to do. teach us lessons of how to think, teach us lessons of how not to think. And we are going to learn how to deal with difficult people and our families. We're going to learn how to deal with pleasant people in our families. We're going to learn how to deal with crazy people in our families. And that is going to prepare us to deal with all kinds of people out in the world. But we have to accept that assignment and not convince ourselves that somehow it's okay to deny your own household or those of your household. Is there anyone else who'd like to speak? Because if no one else speaks,
I do.
I'm going to call, yes,
I'm
please.
I'm going to add about emphasis to having the Holy Spirit and being submitted to the Holy Spirit, which you referred to in Acts. And I think it's very, very important that that was the point you brought up, because if you don't have the Holy Spirit and you're dealing with your family and you're looking at good and you're looking at bad, at the end of the day, the voice of the Holy Spirit and the leading of the Holy Spirit has to supersede all what you see, all the things that were passed down consciously and subconsciously in your family. And in the middle of all that stuff affecting you culturally and ethically, based upon who you are, your birth order, all those things that we talk about in psychology and sociology. The leading of the Holy Spirit is really important, to be submitted to him and learning from him, to take his yoke and learn from him how we see our families through his eyes, how we hear through his eyes, how God ministers to us through our family, how we need to learn to allow him to lead us, to be vulnerable to him so he can show us things in our family that keeps us from being all that he called us to be. And it may look right and feel right, and nobody likes to rock the boat, nobody wants to offend, but when it comes to the leading of the Holy Spirit and his word, we got to get stronger and steadfast in that area. Because as the days grow dark, families grow dark. The wickedness grows dark. We've become very clever at covering up and calling good evil and evil good. And people going along to get along. Dynamic happens in our families first before it even happens, you know, in school as it pertains to peer pressure and things of that nature. And I just want people to be encouraged that are listening tonight all over the world to stand for who God has said you are and your identity. Stand for Christ, you know, stand for your salvation and everything that that represents. Be led and submitted to the Holy Spirit, knowing that sometimes, I think this is one of the reasons why Jesus said what he said in Mark, that he would, his family is those he's called to, his spiritual family. And there will be times that we will be closer to those very people than we are to our natural family. There are seasons that we may go through. And if you're going through that right now, tonight, don't think it's strange and don't be discouraged by it, because God is setting you apart. And everybody in our family, even though they're called to accept Christ, this is their heritage as well, won't always follow the same path. And I want people to be encouraged tonight to not allow the enemy to make you believe that you are still a misfit because your family is going one way and you're going the way of Christ. Be encouraged and ask God to strengthen you emotionally, because I think spiritually you might be strong and fortified, but maybe emotionally you're falling apart and you're confused and you're distracted. I want to speak life to you tonight. We are talking about family being our first ministry, but some people God is defining to them right now what family is based on what they're going through with their natural family. And maybe in some cases, based on what they're going through with their spiritual family. I want to make sure that you understand that I will say for me, I'm praying for you. because this will either make or break for some people what they will do for God. This sometimes will make or break whether or not they will turn back because they are afraid of being alone. And they're defining this time in their life of growth and development as abandonment. But remember, you're never alone, and you have to be patient and strong. I speak strength to you that you will be able to talk to God and go closer to him at this time so he can define to you what family is.
Amen, Pastor Carver. And I'll tell you, what is it when, you know, it makes me think of the story in First Chronicles where God is just putting forth this list of all these people, and he stops in the middle of the list to talk about this guy named Jabez, whose mother named him Pain. His name means pain, and she named him Pain because he gave her so much pain in childbirth, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And she literally was naming him in a way that was prophesying that he would be one who brings pain to others. And so whenever he heard his name, Jabez, that's what he heard, was one who causes pain. And just imagine what kind of prophecy that is to have over your life, and then to be reminded of that every time your mom calls your name. Hey, Pain, come here. Hey, Pain, come here. Hey, Pain, come over here. And see, the problem is that this is coming from someone that he loved, you know, his mother. And all she remembers is the pain. And see, you can't have family without pain. You can't have love without pain. Look at what God had to endure in order for us to be a part of his family. He had to send his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, to die for you and I. And those 3 days that he watched his son dead in the stone tomb, dead, before he raised him from the dead, had to be the hardest, most painful time for God, because Jesus Christ was in his bosom from the beginning before anything else was. And to think that God was without his son for those 3 days is quite a price. That's pain, because he was with his son Jesus Christ for longer than anything else was in existence, however long that was. And you have to consider if God went through that kind of pain so that we could be a part of his heavenly family, and God's purpose and goal of dwelling with mankind and mankind dwelling with him would be brought to pass as a result of him enduring that level of pain and separation from his son, Jesus Christ, that he loves so much. How much pain might we have to go through for our family in order for God to get the real glory he's trying to get out of us? See, we share in the glory of Christ, but we also share in the suffering of Christ. Look at what it says here in Acts 16:31, just so that we don't think it was a mistake that it was written in Acts 2:38 and 39. Look at what it says in Acts 16:31. It says, "And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Right? So it's not just you being saved, it's your house also. And that means that through you, your house is being called into the kingdom. And it's a powerful thing. It's a powerful thing. But a lot of times what we're dealing with as it pertains to family issues is forgiveness. And think about what Jabez had to go through. He asked God to take away the curse on his wife, to take away this prophecy that he would bring pain to others. As a matter of fact, he asked God to bless him greatly and expand his territory and allow him to cause no pain. So he is literally speaking against the prophecy over his life that he would bring pain to all that he came in contact with like the pain that he brought to his mother who gave him this horrific name, right? And it says God answered his prayer. God expanded his territory. He blessed him greatly. He allowed him to cause no pain, right? And what that means is that we can begin to exercise power in our life. We can begin to exercise power in our households. Look at what it says here in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32. It says, let all bitterness, all wrath, all anger, all clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. See, God might want to handle business with you, but he remembers the price that he paid at Calvary with the perfect blood of his perfect son, Jesus Christ, for you. And for his son's sake, he forgives you. But he tells you, if you're going to be forgiven, you have to forgive. And see, this is the business of family. And this is why families are so weak. This is why families are under attack. Because see, God says when we humble ourselves and resist the devil will flee from us. But what we do is we operate in pride. We refuse to forgive. And we invite the devil to come in and wreak havoc on our households because all we're concerned about is getting even. Have you ever heard that saying? As a matter of fact, I'm sure I heard a family member say this. I don't get mad, I get even, right? And our flesh hears something like that and wants to have a party. Our flesh hears something like that and says, oh yeah, that's strength speaking. But it's not. It's spiritual cowardice. See, when you refuse to stand on the power of the Word of God, you're accepting death and a curse voluntarily and inviting that mess in your house and just opening the door for the devil. And instead of the devil fleeing from you, he's just strolling right up in your house, wreaking havoc, tearing apart the old, the young, and the weak. And those who think they're strong are letting it happen. And they're really operating in pride. And we know what God has to say about that. God sets himself against the proud. God says, if you're proud, you're a fool because you're resisting God and you will fail. And you have to know that. You have to hear that. Somebody has to love you enough to tell you to get out of your own way and stop playing around. This is serious business. So we have to get to the point where we just grow up. But look at what it says in Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. That's the word. Is there anyone else you'd like to share?
I'm just going to piggyback on what you're saying about walking in love and forgiving. And when we were preparing for this, 1 Corinthians 13 came up. And it's a great scripture for, just a great scripture. It's about love. Everybody knows it. Everybody says it at their wedding. And sometimes I've even heard this quoted at funerals, 1 Corinthians 13. And I'm going to read it from the Amplified. And when you forget, like, what you're supposed to be doing, and you want it simplified about how to walk in love towards others, especially, I can also think of Galatians as well, Galatians 5, which is also talking about fruits of the Spirit and fruits of the flesh and things about our character. Let's keep it simple. Let's read 1 Corinthians 13 and believe what it says and prayerfully ask the Lord to enlighten us and show us where we can do better. If I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not love for others, growing out of God's love for me, then I have become only a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal, just an annoying distraction. And if I have the gift of prophecy and speak a new message from God to the people and understand all mysteries and possess all knowledge, and if I have all sufficient faith so that I can remove mountains, but do not have love, reaching out to others, I am nothing. If I give all my possessions to feed the poor, if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it does me no good at all. And so all those things that we see in ministry, right? People serving, people giving to the poor, people prophesying, people teaching, you know, evangelizing, pastoring, being an apostle. But it also says, Paul is saying that if you don't have love, you're noisy. It doesn't profit you anything. It doesn't do you any good. But this is what we see in ministry, right? And so we're doing all this with love. And in our families, we could be doing these very things that it mentioned in the first three verses without love. We're just going through the motion. This is what I'm supposed to do. And some people are so tired and so drained that they just going through the motions, but there's no love. But this is why it's important. In verse 4, it says, love endures with patience and sincerity and serenity. I'm sorry. Love is kind and thoughtful. I mean, wherever there is a comma in this version, which is the Amplified, you literally can stop and think about that. You pause. Love is kind and thoughtful. Is not jealous or envious. Love does not brag and is neither proud or arrogant. Hold on. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not provoked nor overly sensitive, easily angered. It does not take into account a wrong endured. It does not rejoice at injustice, but rejoices with the truth when right and truth prevails. Love bears all things, regardless of what comes. Believes all things. It looks for the best in each one. You're not always dwelling on the past, being negative. Hopes all things. Remaining steadfast during difficult times. Endures all things without weakening. Love never fails. It never fades nor ends. But as for prophecies, they pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. Gifts of special knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. Our knowledge is fragmentary and incomplete. But when that which is complete and perfect comes, that which is incomplete and partial will pass away. So that's where I'm going to stop, because I think that's a lot. And I think that if we just read this, meditate on it, pray it, then God will show you where you're strong, and he'll show you where you're not and where you need to improve. Because when it comes to family, whether it's our spiritual, natural family, if we truly are intentionally submitting to the Holy Spirit and submitting to the Word of God, we can't go wrong. It doesn't mean that people won't love you back, that they will forgive you, that they won't be rude to you, that they'll be unkind. And this is people in your family. But you have to decide, okay, God, okay, let me go back to this word and see what you said about what love is. And truly, forgiveness, as Bishop Carver mentioned, is always something that we should be ready to do, because as we forgive, we are forgiven. And many times when we fall short of these elements in this specific passage in the Bible, in 1 Corinthians 13, we're going to need to repent from a place in the heart. And that means turning away from a thought process that created that manifestation of that ugly behavior. So it doesn't matter what you're called to, what your identity is, what your assignment is. Without love, it's nothing. And this is a very humbling passage, but it works every time. When God deals with me and about this, he says, just take it back to 1 Corinthians 13, Vanessa. And then, you know, wherever you need help, he'll help you. He will help you, but you have to be vulnerable to the word and to the spirit. And then it'll be, you'll be stronger to deal with people in your family and different scenarios. But you first have to let God deal with you when it comes to his word.
Amen, Pastor Vanessa. And I'll tell you, when it comes down to being vulnerable to the word, we have to allow the word to rest in our heart in such a way that we hear the heart of God when we read the word of God. And when we hear God's heart for us and we receive his commands for us, understanding they are to improve our quality of life. They are to allow us to literally live a more than abundant life. But the reason he gave them to us is so that we could prevail, that we could live a more than abundant life spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, and financially. So I want to look at some challenging words right here. And we're going to look at Ephesians. We're going to look at Ephesians, and we're going to look at Ephesians 5 and verse 21. And if you go to Ephesians 5:21, what it's going to say is, well, you know, yeah, let's look at what it says here. This says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. So just as Jesus Christ is the Savior of the body, the man is the covering, the husband is the covering for the wife. And he is to love the wife as if he is, and be prepared to die for the wife, the same way Christ was. It says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. That was unto death, right? And gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. See, the church is washed by the word. The church is cleansed by the word. And see, when we as husbands in our house are living the word of God in our life, we become those living epistles, and we cleanse those in our house by our example of love, by our example of forgiveness, by our example of grace, by our example of mercy, by our ability to mourn with others, and all of these things that we know to do from the word. Look at what it says. It says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it, he might set it apart and cleanse it with the washing of the word. that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. I'm going to read that again. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. And just as we are members of his flesh and his bones and his body, our wife is a member, a part of our body and our flesh and who we are. And we are to love our wife as we love ourselves, right? And so when we get to this point where we understand what we're being asked to do, we don't try to interpret this to mean something other than exactly what it's saying, right? All we have to do is let God's word rest on our heart, meditate on that word to the point where it saturates the stony places of our heart. And remember that we've been told for a very long time that we were pain. We were, someone prophesied, as they prophesied over Jabez when he was born, we were pain. We were going to cause pain. We were going to do damage. We were going to do X, Y, and Z. And so many people are dealing with this type of resistance, not understanding that it's demonic. It comes directly from the devil, and it's designed to keep you from even starting to be who God designed you to be. And so all you have to do is pray to God, as Jabez did. Call unto God and say, reverse the curse. Bless me greatly. Expand my territory. See, and the reason he was asking to be blessed wasn't just for him. He was saying, you give me the chance to bless others and I'll be a blessing. I don't want to be pain to others. Allow me to cause no pain. Expand my territory and allow me to love others beyond where I'm able to love them now, right? And see, when you receive that kind of desire from God, God's going to grant that desire for you. But it's going to start in your house. Your house is ground zero. Your house is training. But, well, I think this is the way Pastor Carver puts it. She says, your family's boot camp for life. And so you think that your family's rough, but when you get to the point where you can manage and love and direct your family, then you're ready to manage and love and direct people in the church. Because the people in the church, they can go whenever they're tired of you. The people in your family, they're related to you no matter what they say. You know, people can say, oh, I disown you. You know what? The DNA is still there. They are flesh of your flesh and bone of your bone. They're related to you. And if anybody does the DNA test, it's gonna come up. These are connected. These people are the same family, right? So look at what it says. It says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, I'm going to walk this backwards so that you can see, starting with this commandment to the men at the end here, where it tells us, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurturing admonition of the Lord. And I want you to think about how God dealt with you, right? How God dealt with me. Is tripped out as I was, God did not destroy me. God did not hold me accountable for every little thing and big thing that I did. And he did not break my spirit. He chastened me and got my attention and turned me around in the direction that was going to bring me life and blessings, right? This says, children, provoke not your children to wrath. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurturing admonition of the Lord. If you look at the Old Testament, as rebellious as the children of Israel were, God always made a way for them to come back. God was there for them, and his love toward them after he chastened them was always an act of restoration. It was always calling them closer to him, allowing them to see the degree to which his word holds true, and that he forgave them and loved them and gave them mercy and mercy and mercy and grace upon grace upon grace. And when we look at that example, especially in our households, I'll tell you, there are awful things that husbands and wives do to one another. But when you get to the point where you look at God's example, God literally had a prophet in the Old Testament marry a harlot in order to demonstrate the degree of infidelity of his people toward him, because God said that he had betrothed himself to Israel. He married himself to Israel. And they went whoring after other gods, is what it says. And he always made a way for them to come back. And this one example where he told this prophet to marry a prostitute in order to demonstrate what his people had done to him was causing them to repent. And see, for us, we have to understand that, look, once we enter God's household, we are his child. He is going to chasten us. He is going to deal with us. He is going to love us to the point where we submit. But we will submit because we're in his house. That's how it is, right? And so we want to get to the point where we love our children the same way so that we don't break their spirit. We don't provoke our children to wrath by creating such a degree of hopelessness that they feel like there's nothing that I'm ever going to do that's good enough, and I just quit. And see, you don't want to do that because you're going to raise quitters. You're going to raise people who see no hope, who give up easily, who are not seeking validation or approval because they don't even believe it's available, right? They don't believe it's possible to bless someone else or make someone else happy because all they ever hear is ridicule. And so, fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath. And then, children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. And it's the first commandment with promise when you honor your father and your mother. And it says that when you do, it's going to be well with you, and you're going to live long on the earth. And this is a very difficult command for many people because some of our parents were serious. They were serious challenges in our life. They were not the best. And yet, this doesn't say if your parents were good, honor them. It says honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you. See, the focus is on you because you have to remember these are the people you come from. You emanate from these people. Your mother is half of you. Your father is half of you. And if you hate both or one of those halves, you're hating yourself. So God is telling you, honor your father and mother. Learn from their lessons. Learn from their mistakes. learn from their successes. There are two ways to learn. You can learn by mentors and you can learn by mistakes, but you can learn by your mentor's mistakes, right? Well, you can learn from your parents' mistakes. I know that my children would look at my life and say, oh yeah, I'm never going to do that. Well, you know, that more power to them, you know. I think those are things people have to experience for themselves before they understand how life works, right? But we all have parents, and we all have to honor our father. We have to honor our mother and know that it is so that things can go well with us and so that we can live long on the earth. So we go back even further, where it says, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and see that the wife reverence her husband. And so the command for husbands to love their wives as themselves and for wives to reverence their husbands is very specific here. Your reverence toward your husband is not based on how perfect he is. That command is to you. The command to your husband is to love his wife as he loves himself. And then early on, we read how we're to love our wives as Christ loved the church. And we know that was unto death, right? But because the man, the husband, has put himself in this position, the wife isn't told to love your husband. She's told to reverence her husband and to revere and show that level of reverence and respect that is due her husband. And so we have to get to the point where we take this seriously enough so that we can get past our own philosophy, we can get past how we feel, and we can just let the word of God rest on our heart so it can melt away those stony places in our heart and let our heart become flesh again so that we can love the way that God would have us love, so that we can honor God's word the way that God would have us to honor his word, because God magnified his word above his name, and so should we. So when we get to the point where we're doing this, we're going to know that we have it. So I'd like to reach out to Pastor Vanessa or anyone else who'd like to comment about loving your family well and treating your family as your first ministry. So anyone? Anyone?
I'm going to end with prayer. Okay. Father God, thank you for this opportunity tonight to begin to talk about and to prayerfully listen to what you have to say about family as ministry, where we need to be versus where we are. Thank you, Lord, today that we examine ourselves individually and listen to what you say to us through your word and commit to submitting to your word and asking you to help us to walk in love towards one another, to have teachable spirits, to be vulnerable to your word and to you so that we can know how to serve better. Thank you, Lord, today for the accuracy of your word as we study it. We read it, we study it, and we meditate on it so that it is applied in our hearts and we walk it out. I thank you, Lord, today for strength for those who are listening that's dealing with this issue, how to love their family, how to put you first, understanding the order of family and those different elements that we discussed tonight. I pray, Lord, today that that person, that man or woman, oh God, who is listening in a place as a servant leader, is pastoring families, is ministering to families on a daily basis. Maybe it's their occupation. Maybe it's something that they do as a career, but it's still a ministry, and they see it as so. Lord, strengthen them right now from the top of their head to the sole of their feet to not do things in their own strength and to look at them as you look at them. This is something that is a daily commitment, and it's something we do daily. Give them what they need so they can give the people that they minister to what they need. Help the men and women of God and their families personally as it pertains to our bloodline, as it pertains to our spiritual family, which is just as important as our natural family. And I thank you, Lord, today that we don't compartmentalize or categorize people and see them, but not and making a difference between one and the other, that we put away the things of the world and truly begin to learn to walk according to you as how we see each other and how we treat each other. Let us be accountable to our own self and not be so quick to point the finger at someone else or something else in our family. And just like what 1 Corinthians said, there's so many elements in that scripture that tells you what to do and what not to do. But let's not walk in a place of denial and see where we need to come up and be able to receive your word. With, first of all, it takes a lot of courage to decide to do what God has told you to do. It takes a lot of patience and it takes a lot of strength. So I pray, Lord, that you pour that into each one of us so that when we come together collectively, we won't be a hindrance to one another, but we'll be a strength. Thank you for all the different countries that are listening and everybody all over this country. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. And from Spirit Alive Network, with God's great love for us, be ye transformed.
Come. Increase, increase. Just touch two people, say increase. Increase. Touch somebody, say increase, increase, increase.
Go get your inheritance.